This content is brought to you in part by Supreme Auctions, the only luxury auction company recommended by the Institute. Supreme Auctions is widely recognized as the first auction company to design a program to work alongside and in partnership with luxury real estate professionals and their clients. Go to supremeauctions.com to learn more. Welcome to A State of Mind, a podcast series all about motivating, inspiring, and educating you in the art of luxury real estate. This is Diane Hartley, and I'm president of the Institute for Luxury Home Marketing. Today, we have two very special guests here to discuss designing a bespoke or customized customer experience. So this is not about a level of customer service. This is the unique experience that is intentionally created that separates a product or service from its competitors. So let me welcome first Ryan Ogden. Ryan's the CEO of Perigee Partners and a certified customer experience professional. Ryan has spent his career advising businesses on how to differentiate themselves and be heard above the noise. I'd also like to welcome Jim Wahlberg. Jim's a 35-year real estate professional from the Bay Area. Jim and his team are real estate wealth advisors to their clients and have spent decades perfecting their unique customer experience. And today we're going to talk about how he did just that. Welcome, Jim and Ryan. So Jim, tell us a little bit about you.
Well, I got into real estate as a practitioner in 1990 or 1989. Reluctantly, I had built some spec houses, 16 of them over a 10-year period of time, and I hired a different realtor every time because I was so unimpressed. My friend and business partner in another venture said, you know, I'd like to start a real estate company. I'd like you to be my partner. And I said, absolutely not. I don't want anything to do with being a realtor. He said, well, I don't want you to be a realtor. I just want you to be the managing partner of the firm and help me grow it. I said, the only way I do that is if we shared the same office, because I wanted to hear him and I wanted him to hear me as to what we were doing each day. Within 4 months, I got my real estate license and asked if I could be his business partner as a realtor, because I'd never met such a professional. Dennis Simkin could have been a professional in any industry. And that started one heck of an adventure.
Fast forward to today, you're in Danville, which is a really super fast growing market just outside of Silicon Valley. So tell us about Danville.
When I came to Danville in 1970, there were four hitching posts and you could ride your horse downtown. It was a Western town and it was all about horses. Today, it's like a Western Carmel, if one knows about Carmel. It still has that small town charm, lots of walking stuff happening downtown every day. But it has now grown to 65,000 people and the go-to city in the Bay Area for anyone, really.
That's exciting. You know, Jim's a longtime Institute member, and I've had the pleasure of having Jim on our stage a number of times at Leaders in Luxury and other places. And Jim is really the consummate real estate professional as it relates to his understanding of his customers. And so as we talk about this thing called the customer experience, I also invited Ryan Ogden to join us. And Ryan and Jim do have a little bit of a background where they did meet a number of years ago. Ryan, tell us a little bit about your practice and what you do.
Yeah, sure. Well, thanks. Great to be here. And so, yeah, customer experience is this term that in some circles, a lot of people are very familiar with. They call it CX. I refer to it as a discipline or a profession. People consider themselves to be a CX professional or in a lot of cases, it's right there in their title. You know, you might be head of CX or even customer experience officer, the CXO. But what I think is interesting is that it's really a pretty new phenomenon. I mean, if you think about accountants and how long have accountants been around, you know, since we've had money to count, but not as much. And even, you know, go with some other professions like project managers or others. CX is a relatively new profession. So I think of probably the major milestone that really marks it as a, you know, it sort of landed on the horizon is in 2011. And that's when our professional association was founded. So the CXPA. or the Customer Experience Professionals Association was founded in 2011. And there was a lot of pent up demand. I mean, really, it happened organically. So the truth is, it was sort of forming, but there really wasn't a, you know, anything that officially validated we are a profession really until then. And since then, now we have thousands of members in the CXPA globally. And it's been, you know, more and more validated a lot since then.
And you hold a certification, right?
I do. Yeah. They offer a CCXP or Certified CX Professional Certification.
It's very interesting. And I think in most people's day-to-day lives, they don't think about this. We're most often customers, right? We don't think about how really good companies are out there monitoring how we feel about them, right? And so if you drill that down to the real estate profession, which just a full disclosure, I'm riding on the elevator today with the same guy. You know how that happens when you always get to this to the office at the same time. The guy owns the business down the hall. And he said, you know, real estate, that's a really, really hard job. Like there's this impression that people have of a real estate professional. And he said that it's because the transaction is so emotional. And when we think about CX and the customer experience and tie it that close to the emotion of your home, I think that's where it really kind of tends to explode in the folks like Jim and his wife who are partners really get this experience right. Talk about your database a little bit and how you've evolved that over time and this idea of your sphere.
Well, one of the jobs I think that as realtors we have every day is called the positioning game. The positioning game is, you know, where are we in the mind's eye of our audience? If I say to you Campbell's, what often comes to mind is soup. That happened by 50, 60, 70 years of a marketing plan by Campbell's. It did not happen because I gave them permission. So they were very successful. So we have a database of 800 or so folks that we have been playing the positioning game with for our entire career. That database, our objective is to have that database have in their mind's eye that when they think of real estate, they think of Jim and Anne-Marie in any aspect of real estate. If they see somebody painting their house, they may ask them, well, what are you doing? Are you preparing your house for sale? I've got some great folks you need to speak to. So they are raving fans out there in the world because of the work we do with what we call our positioning game.
So Jim, thank you. That's really interesting information. I really like that. And you know, we know that Jim has been a practicing real estate professional for over 30 years. And this is all an evolution process for a lifelong learner. And how he wants to always get better. And there's some concepts in what he talked about, Ryan, that I think you can unpack and share that people can wrap their heads around right now.
Yeah. I think the challenge, especially with real estate agents, to stay top of mind. I mean, I think everyone knows or has a sense to some extent how important that is. They may not realize how critical it is. That another statistic I think about is that even within a year, most homeowners can't even name their agent. I mean, it's just sickening to hear that, you know, in 2 years it's worse. So being top of mind is just so critical. And but how do you do it, right? How do you do it in a way that, you know, look back for decades, there were the magnets, refrigerator magnets and things like that, that people try to use to stay top of mind. But I think of that as like trying to shout above the noise, you know, and it's just not effective. And so,
What we know are there things in the CX practice that are called moments that matter, right?
Yeah, that's what I call them, at least. Most of the industry calls them defining moments or moments of truth. Those are the terms that you'll hear out there. I just kept finding myself calling them moments that matter, so I like that term. But yeah, it's really zeroing in on, if you think about a restaurant example, I always like to think of when there are these moments that can make or break your entire dining experience. You know, presentation of the check is one. Certainly the meal itself is one. But it's not, you know, when you try to think of the entire experience, your head explodes. You can't think about all that. There are too many factors, how do you design this experience? It's too hard. But if you can zero in on moments, it simplifies the complexity. Yeah. So you can do that with real estate too.
Yeah. So let's talk about those a little bit, right? So Jim, you play this positioning game, and in your practice, what are some of these key moments that you've identified over the transaction or over the relationship that you know these are can't fail, got to get this right?
Well, the message we give our clients from the moment we start working with them, especially at the closing table, they expect, they've had a real estate experience before. They expect us to be gone. They don't expect to hear from us again. The last document that we bring for them to sign at the closing table is an addendum that we let them know we forgot to include, and we'd like them to review it and please sign it. That addendum says that Jim and Anne-Marie are invited to every party at their house for the first year. Second, third, and preceding years are negotiable depending on how we behave. And we let them know that we are like a bad cold. They're just not going to be able to get rid of us. We then have at least a 40-touch system that we have in place each year that our database is touched at least 40 times by us with a whole variety of touches. So when we're playing that positioning game, they just can't get rid of us. They're reminded of our presence as their real estate wealth advisors 40 plus times a year.
That's really interesting. If I had a dollar, and I'm sure it's the same for you, how many times I get the question is, how do we get referrals? Or what's the closing gift? It's kind of like we're missing the point, right? There's a tremendous focus in this business on making sure there's the exact right closing gift, right, Jim?
Yes, that has also been an evolution over the past 30 plus years. 20 or 25 years ago, a big deal was this concrete goose that you would have on your front porch as a decorator item. I can't tell you how many homes had a duck or a goose on their front porch. So we would have a bow tie around this goose and a basket full of goodies and a bottle of wine, and that was our thank you gift. Well, there wasn't any thought that went into it. What our thoughts are today, we would like our thank you for the opportunity to be of service to be a moment where they're telling others a story. That goose and that gift bag didn't provide any opportunity for them to tell anybody a story. When someone walks up to visit them in their home, they don't stop before they go in the house and say, you know, before you go in the house, I want to tell you about this gorgeous goose on our front porch that was given to us by Jim and Anne-Marie, and I want to tell you about their services. Well, that never happened, ever. So how is it that we can have our clients tell stories about us where we manufacture opportunities for that to happen?
So, Ryan, in the world of customer experience, what Jim just described, right, this idea of storytelling, how important is that?
Yeah, it's really critical. And, he used a couple of key terms that he used. We manufacture, you know, and I would call that design. We call it, you know, designing these customer experiences. And obviously, you've got to implement the design, so you've got to manufacture too. But the point is, it's thoughtful, it's intentional. And so we think in terms of think, feel, do. And if you can put that in your mind, that would be a great takeaway to ask yourself as you're designing these moments, what do you want your clients to think, feel, and do? And if that's what you want them to think, feel, and do, then how are you setting the stage? How are you? And if it's in Jim's case, he wants, and we have some common things that it's either like buy more, stay longer, tell others, whatever. But the tell others would be the example there that Jim really keyed in on. Well, we want them to tell. Well, what does that look like? And so ask yourself that, and then how do we get them to tell? And instead of focusing on the tactic of what gift do we give, if you ask that question of what do I want them to think, feel, and do, and how can I set the stage and really influence them and encourage them to do that, you'll have a much better tactic that you arrive on that's personal to you, that works for your style. You know, Jim's example works for his style. Your answer is probably something different.
Yeah. And so, Jim, instead of the goose, can you give some examples of what exactly we mean when we say this?
When someone refers a client to us, this is an incredible big deal. And probably 95% or more of our transactions are because of referrals. So how is it that we can acknowledge that person in a way that hopefully they'll do it more? So when we're referred a family or a client for real estate, we set up a quarterly delivery of flowers for 1 year to their place of business. It doesn't work to go to their home because there's nobody to talk to. But if it goes to their place of business and it's on their desk and we don't tell them we're going to do this, all of a sudden a bouquet of flowers shows up and a nice note from Anne-Marie and I thanking them for their kind support of our real estate practice. Everybody in their company that walks by their desk asks them, what are the flowers about? Where'd you get the flowers? Was it a birthday, anniversary, whatever? They tell the story about us about 40 times because it got to be delivered on a Monday morning. So that it's there all week. So we have our local florist that understands what their requirements are when we do this. I write the notes at the very same time I make the order. So I know what month the flowers are going to be delivered. So I kind of know what's going on that month in the year. And it costs me about $400 to set up those four deliveries. And I pay it right then. And so it's done. I don't think about it. But it has been unbelievably effective because, like Ryan said, we've designed a way for people to tell a story about us.
And can I jump in and I want to speak, Jim, for you, because you told me a story also that you didn't mention here. And my wife happens to also do some gardening, and she has a friend whose wife just passed away. And as a gift, she's giving a container pot. That's what she does. And she asked the friend, what kind of flowers did your mom love? Or what kind of flowers, you know, I'm going to give you this pot, but what would you like in it? And when she gives that, it's so special and personal to them because it's, oh, those are the flowers my mom loved. And they're moved to tears. And Jim, you told me stories where your clients were moved to tears. And the key was you found something that was deep and personal emotionally for them. And so I would assume you've done something like that with the flowers, but even if you haven't, I know there are other things that you give.
Yeah, I think we're separating a couple things. And I think that's an excellent point about the people who referred business. Moving from a transaction, right? We've just completed this transaction, therefore I want to give you a gift. To we've just begun a relationship, and here's what I've learned about you. And so at the end of this one moment in our relationship, I'm going to present you with something, which is really how they should be thinking about it. Right, Jim?
Yes, just last month, we represented a wonderful young family in the purchase of a home in Danville. The family was from Pakistan. I learned that Mrs. had always wanted to play the guitar. So I asked her some more about that. She says, well, I bought a guitar when I was young without my dad knowing it, but he made me send it back. And I've always regretted that, and I've always wanted to learn how to play the guitar. So I filed that in my brain because my nephew has a rock and roll band in Nashville, Tennessee. So I called up my nephew, Matt, and I said, Matt, I don't know if you do guitar lessons, but Zoom is a big deal right now. And if you do, I would like to hire you for a dozen sessions with our client for learning how to play the guitar. Before that, I learned that a friend of hers had given her a guitar, but she knew nothing. She did not know how to use it. So I set up guitar lessons for her And she was just moved to tears. She could not believe that she was now going to have the opportunity to learn how to play the guitar.
That's really amazing. And so, you know, Jim, I've done a couple of things about that that I think are really important. And Ryan, chime in here. But when we talk about designing, you said, I filed that away in my brain. What I heard you say was, I'm constantly seeking moments, right, where there's a reveal in this relationship for something I can do, right? Ryan, is there kind of a technical term for that? Or is that like, what is that?
Yeah, no, I think you hit on some of the terms, you know, reveal and yeah. That you're seeking, you know, I know dating can seem a little awkward to talk about, but you know, if you use the word relationship. And so if you look at that it's a relationship with your clients and not a transaction, then think about dating. And when you're dating, you know, noticing things about the person you're dating and then bringing those up at the right time. I mean, you're courting, you're trying to show, hey, I like you, you know? And so those are things we have a hard time translating into business world because it feels awkward. But yeah, I mean, noticing things about people and taking a genuine interest in them, you know, Jim just loves people.
Yeah.
And so it comes naturally, but also as he pointed out, it's not entirely natural. He knows he needs to be mindful and be a detective and say, how can I learn more? Oh, wow, this guitar story. I want to hear more about that. What does that mean to you? You know, and he realizes, I'm sure at some point the light bulb went off and he said, wow, this is not only am I just enjoying talking to you and getting to know you better as a person and I like you more. And I also realize this is the thing that probably I'm going to file away and I'll reveal later and kind of surprise and delight them. Has to be custom to them, has to be a surprise. And it has to be at the right time also.
One of the things we talked about early on was what makes the profession of real estate challenging is you're inserted into a very emotional time and it's a very emotional purchase. And one of the things that I've always seen as kind of strange is we have this super emotional purchase and then this really impersonal closing gift, a gift card, or right? Like, so it doesn't match the actual experience. And I want to come back to this because now that we've got the stories, we go back to what Jim said earlier, which is I'm playing the positioning game in their mind. And I'm giving them the story to tell about me and this experience they have. And, you know, now that we hear that, right, we heard it, it's like, oh, wow, that's pretty amazing because the guitar is going to be the story. Oh, and this guy is so amazing and he has such high attention to detail that he heard me say this and acted upon it. Now, all of those things are things we'd want someone to say about us professionally, high attention to detail, action orientation. So what the other piece I want you to go deeper on, Ryan, is this idea of demonstrating and not telling. The temptation that people have is to tell people that they're the best and tell people why.
You know, it helps to be, what is it, an Iowan? You know, the show me, don't tell. Yeah. So it's so critical to actually live it out and to hit on that emotional tie. You know, people, we like to think we make logical decisions, but we don't. We make emotional decisions and then we use logic to justify why we acted emotionally. And so you've got to hit on that emotional tie to help people want to act. And whatever the act is, in this case, we're talking about we want the action to be telling. And so, yeah, you need to equip them with the talking points. But to your point, you don't just tell them, you have to show them. And you used a term earlier, can't fail, which is one of my favorite terms. So I talk about a couple of different types of moments. There are two moments. There's a signature moment and there's a can't fail moment. And the signature moment is what blows their socks off. And that's the guitar moment. But yeah. What's interesting about that is there were all these can't fail moments. Also, like you mentioned, he also delivered exceptionally, right? Or she wouldn't. Right. So if
table
he hadn't.
Stakes.
Exactly.
Table stakes.
And you can't forget about the table stakes or what I call can't fail moments, or it'll also make all that work will just vanish and they won't tell the story either because.
Right. Yeah. You know, we haven't used the word luxury in this conversation. I think it's just implied. But one of the things that's really important at this level, and to know that that primarily Jim's working in a multi-million dollar market, right? And he's dealing with a variety of people, but the thing they all have in common is they're able to make multi-million dollar purchases of a home. So when we look at those folks and the can't fail moments, one thing at that level is the expectation of competence, right, Jim?
Yeah, there's a, I want to go back to, in that word of competence, to something that Ryan said earlier. The real estate industry, I believe, is sectioned into two categories. One are transactions and one are relationships. When you're talking about the horrible statistic of people not hiring a realtor, again, 13% hire them. That means that whatever that is, 87% don't. Those 87% that don't had a professional that was in the transaction business. They weren't in the relationship business. At the close of escrow, they thought they were out of business and they're looking for the next transaction, as opposed to continuing to expand an audience of people that you're in relationship with. One of the questions I guess I would ask our fellow practitioners is, for them to really look, are they in the transaction business or are they in the relationship business? And the one of the keys to being, when I talk about Ryan, a detective, is having a discipline of listening to understand as opposed to interrupt. And I do very little talking. I want to ask a question and be quiet. And that's how I learned about the guitar. This family has tremendous resources. They could have set the guitar lessons up, or this woman could have set guitar lessons up for herself, but somehow she did not give herself permission to do so. And it's too complicated for me to understand why, but somebody gave her permission. And now she is having an incredible experience that she didn't expect. So this process of being a good detective is very intentional of really being a good listener and asking good questions.
Thanks, Jim. That's really insightful. You know, one of the things that we ask our folks that we meet as new members is, what do they think is holding them back from being, you know, super successful? And without exception, the number one answer is time management. There's no system out there, right, that's going to make people prioritize things differently. And one of the, I think one of the most impressive things about you, Jim, is that database of 800 plus people, because you've made a conscious, and as we've talked about, an evolution. You've evolved to the place where you are right now and learned that, really, do you need a database of 20,000 people? Technology allows you to have it. And so, you know, I know there's some thoughts that you've had about that. Can you share them?
Well, we're in the relationship business. If I'm in the transaction business, I'm starting all over again with a brand new blank mind of someone that has been referred to us or whatever, or maybe we've met them at an open house, which is my most unfavorite thing to do. But the difference is the transaction business or the relationship business, and it's a choice. I would be out of business today because I would be too exhausted. I'd be burned out if I was in the transaction business. I just couldn't do it. I don't know how to do it, but I can be in the relationship business. I can do that in a very deep and wide way with a few people. There's no way I could win the positioning game with 65,000 people in Danville. I don't want to do that. I also would probably quit real estate. If that was my objective, I would quit. So one of the questions we get all the time, or I'll say, gosh, how are you doing? I'm asking one of my colleagues, say, oh my gosh, we're so busy. Well, I don't want to be busy. I want to be profitable. And what are the activities that I'm doing today that would be in the category of profitable as opposed to busy? If it's busy work, somebody else needs to do it. My highest dollar productive activity is in some type of contact with our database. But it takes work. It is, this is not for the faint of heart if they want to have an extraordinary real estate practice.
We could continue this conversation literally for hours because it's so revealing as to these pieces of this bespoke customer experience that are successful. And I appreciate the time that both of you are giving. And I especially appreciate Ryan for creating a system that could help people do this, right? Where you've taken the time with Jim and you've put together kind of a 1 hour exercise. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, it's something actually that Jim and I did together. And so much experience that he's arrived where he is. And yet there are also ways, even for anywhere in your career, whether you're just getting started or, you know, like Jim, if you have a lot of this figured out, even in just an hour. So I'd love for your folks to use it. It's a tool or a couple of templates. We call it Moment Designer. Okay, so we talked about these moments. Well, what evidence do you have that you've thoughtfully planned the moments to happen? Well, I'll give you the evidence. Okay, so there's a template, some instructions on how to fill that out. So there's a Moment Designer. Also, there's another template that goes with it to help zero in on, well, what are the moments? And also some of what are your promises that you, you can think about it another way. What do you want your clients to say when they talk about you? What are the themes? What are those talking points? And those should be the promises that you make to, this is what you can expect when you work with me. And so you should have those themes. And Jim and I were able to zero in on, I remember there was at least one theme that was really fascinating when we looked at your client reviews. They were saying things about you, and it was a theme that I suggested might be important. And fortunately, we saw, oh, look, your clients agree. You are doing this thing that I'm suggesting, but you weren't really talking about it front and center. And that helped you realize, oh, I'm going to actually put that more front and center. So there's a lot you can do in an hour that will really help you improve your customer experience.
And this is an example of, you know, working, you know, on your business to give you a more competitive advantage, if you will, right? Because we'd never used that word in the entire time we've been talking. We focused on relationships and we focused on everybody's going to work hard. Everybody, if you're willing to work hard, and then how do you work hard on the right things? So thank you both for your generosity in putting that together for our listeners. Well, guys, I really appreciate it. We'll have the attachments available to our listeners in the liner notes of the podcast. Any last parting words that you'd either one of you very smart guys would like to share with our listeners?
The work that we do is in the midst of a very emotionally charged experience. When Ryan was talking about earlier that people make decisions because of emotions and then they rationalize why they made that decision, it's actually true. One of the biggest traps in our industry is the concept of transference. Transference is when I take on the emotional state of someone else. And it is a massive issue in our industry. For instance, if I went to a shrink and I presented my issues to the shrink and that shrink sat there and started crying, that would not be a good experience that I would be having as a potential client of that shrink. I would think, oh my gosh, I'm a lot more screwed up than I thought I was. If the shrink's crying. So the issue is that in the midst of the emotions, how can we separate empathy from transference? So transference is me taking on the emotional state of my client. I am useless as a trusted advisor when I have taken on the emotional state of my client. I cannot be at 30,000 feet as a trusted advisor.
Jim, that's an excellent point and a really great place for us to stop and begin part two of this incredible conversation with Jim and Ryan about the bespoke customer experience. So stay tuned for part two. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of A State of Mind, the art of selling luxury real estate. If you're interested in learning more about the Institute, you can find more at luxuryhomemarketing.com. If you like what you just heard, please share with a friend, and don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Thanks for listening.